We certainly want to thank each and every one for coming to be with us here at the East End Church of Christ for a time of worship and praise unto our God. If you're visiting with us, as we stated this morning, and as we always want to express, we want to welcome you and we invite you back at any opportunity that you may have to be with us. Also, if you're looking for a home, if you're looking for a congregation to worship with, please allow us to get to know you and to get to know the congregation here, and we certainly would welcome you amongst our midst. The lesson tonight is a lesson that I developed for the Vacation Bible School out at Earleville. In that, I had the privilege, the opportunity to present the lesson back this past Tuesday out there. We had several from the congregation who came out to support the Vacation Bible School there and the presentation of the message, and I appreciate that so very much. James Meadows, when we were going through the school of preaching, said, you know, if a sermon is worthy to be preached in one area, it's needed in another. So tonight, while it is a repeat for some, it is indeed a new lesson for others who have not had the opportunity to listen to the lesson. The topic was assigned to me out at Earleville, and I appreciated it so very much as I looked into the subject matter of what God says in regard to fool, and I titled this, Don't Act as a Fool. Good people, we understand that Jesus warned against the usage of harsh and unjustified words. The Bible identifies for us in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 19, and also through the words of our Lord and Savior in Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, that the law of Moses condemned murder. However, as you look into the context of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, Jesus condemns the middle mental disposition that fuels the act of murder. That is, he condemns the act of anger and hatred. In fact, as you look at the context of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, he identifies as that those who are angry with their brother without cause, that they will stand before God in judgment. He also identifies that those who would call them their brother, Reka, that is to refer to them as an empty head, or as a fool, that is to qualify as a moron, that these individuals too will stand before God in a very harshful manner as they are standing before Him in the final judgment. Good people, as we consider the context of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, Jesus is not condemning the usage of the term fool, that is across the board. But what He is condemning in the context here is the attitude that would drive one to call someone a fool. Also, we understand is that He's identifying the purpose behind why an individual would call such a one a fool. We do know that God identifies multiple types of individuals as fool. Biblically, whenever God calls someone a fool, He is not saying that these people are lacking mentally, and that's the way a lot of times that we will use the term in our modern vernacular. But yet, in all of this, as God looks at an individual who is a fool, He's identifying a man who has chosen his outlook on life. The root of the problem is spiritually based. This individual likes his folly. He has selected his path, and he is satisfied with his choice in and throughout the course of his life. How does God describe a fool? What are some qualifications? What are the characteristics that God identifies concerning a fool? Tonight, I want us to look at some of these characteristics and to identify even how that these fools are seen in our modern age. Good people, first, a fool will reject the evidence of our God. The way of God means absolutely nothing to this fool. He does not realize the existence of God. He does not grasp the need to accept God's Word and the explanation that we find of God in the Scripture. He does not care about, biblically, what is identified concerning God and the creation of all things. In all of this, this fool looks to human wisdom. He presents himself as being wiser than God. He is one of the more scholarly individuals of the day. God makes absolutely no sense to this individual. What is it that this fool turns to? Good people, we understand that he turns to the scientific data. In all of this, then, rather than looking to the evidence externally as well as internally that God gives of himself, he looks to measuring and weighing and calculating the existence of all things, and then therefore, based out of the calculations, based out of the measurements, based out of the weight of all of this, then he theorizes in regard to God. We understand from Psalms 114 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Yes, these individuals are atheists or skeptics, agnostics, and they buy into the schools of thought concerning evolution, and some of them even go into theistic evolution, believing at least in concepts of God, but yet at the same time bowing themselves down to the theories, the schools of thought of the day, by those who seek higher wisdom. On the other hand, the Bible speaks in regard to those who are wise. Those who are wise will reject the theories of mankind. In all of this, they will guard against and they will reject those conversations that falsely call themselves knowledge. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. In the rejection of all of these theories then, they will examine the evidence. They realize that we need to ask, that we need to seek, and also we need to knock and the door shall be opened unto us. They realize that without question our God has not left Himself without witness and that He has done good. But not only has God done good, good people, our God continues to do good, and this within itself serves as evidence to the existence of our God. In Psalms 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. The wise will look to all of the internal evidence that God presents of Himself in and throughout the Scripture, but also the wise individual will look to the external evidence. And whenever they gather all of this together, good people based out of their study of not only of God's Word, but of His works, they will see without any question that there is a God. And man will stand before God in the day of judgment, inexcusable whenever they dismiss God. Why? Because of the multiple ways in which our God has and continues to reveal Himself. Yes, most certainly, God identifies that there are fools. There are foolish people in this world who will reject all of the evidence. But you know, our God also reveals before us is that there are those who are fools who will have absolutely nothing in this life. This fool is sold on life. This fool loves the world and the things that this world has to offer. As they consider the things that they find in this world, they are mesmerized by it. They see the gold and the silver, the bling, the flashy, the glamorous, and the showy things that are here in this world. And good people, based then out of what they see in the world, they then therefore set their eyes, they set their vision upon seeking after the items that this world has to offer. They remind me of the individual that Jesus spoke of in the book of Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Of the rich young ruler who had great possessions. And good people, he was not concerned about supplying for his daily needs in life or even humanitarian efforts of reaching out and helping others with the things that he had, but rather he wanted to build barns, bigger and better barns, to store up the things that he had been able to place his hands upon, the things that he had acquired in life. This individual, they want the latest and the greatest. They want the fancy and the ritzy things that this world has to offer. And you and I need to guard against being this type of an individual of which God identifies as a fool. These individuals have nothing. Why? Because of their wasteful spending. They go out and they blow every dollar that they can get their hand on. They go out because they have holes burning, or they have the money burning holes in their pockets. And because of that then, they go out and they squander, they waste everything away. Do you remember Jesus spoke of such an individual in the book of Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, where we had the story of the prodigal son. And this man wanted his father's inheritance while his father was still alive. Parents, can you only imagine how this father must have felt? The young boy insisting to the father that he give him his portion of the inheritance. And certainly the father does give him, as the context reveals, his portion of the inheritance. And what does this young man do with his portion? The Bible tells us that he went out and he lived an ungodly life. And he engaged in wasteful spending so much so that he had squandered everything away. That he had wasted every dime of his father's inheritance to the point to where this young man, the Bible tells us, was in want. He was in want for the daily essential things that was necessary for sustaining life. And as a result of that, then, this young Jewish boy finds himself feeding swine. The most humiliating job, task that I believe that a Jew could have found in that day. Yet this young man is certainly what he needed at that time to wake him up. He comes in his consideration to a crossroads. And in that crossroads, he can either remain where he is and die or be humiliated and wake up and go home to the Father. This young man chose to go back to the Father. And the Bible tells us that the Father received him with open arms. And such certainly is true with our Heavenly Father, with those same type individuals who return from the world and give their life over to our God. You see, on the other hand, God presents before us the wise, who is wise enough to understand that all of the blessings that we have in life, that while you and I are given the ability to go out and to earn our keep by the sweat of our brow, in reality, it's God who has enabled us to do so. And because of this, then, God is the one who is bestowing all of these blessings upon us, and you and I certainly will count our blessings. We sing that song from time to time, count your many blessings and see what the Lord hath done. And good people, God continually bestows blessings upon us, and the wise will understand those blessings. And also, though, this individual will be content with the things that he has, he or she has in life. We will not look to the things that the world has to offer and say, I've got to get that latest and greatest. We will not look to the bling of the world and say, you know, I'm so enamored by the flashiness of all of this and that. But rather, you and I, as Christians, as the wise, you and I realize that the things that we have in this world, that there will be a day wherein that they will be consumed, wherein that they will melt with fervent heat. And you and I realize that in reality, our focus is supposed to be beyond this life into the eternal life. And for that reason, as Christians, you and I, the wise, we do not lay up for ourselves treasures in earth, but rather we are constantly working to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven that will never be taken away from us. A treasure in heaven to be in the eternal presence of our God. What such reward is that? But yet at the same time, we understand is that there are fools in the world and they will never have anything. Why? Because of the fact that they love the world. They set their eyes on this world and they squander their waste in wasteful spending. But yet also, the Bible identifies for us yet another fool. This fool cannot control his or her tongue. Good people, as I stand before you tonight, I say that the voice and language is a blessing from God. The ability to speak enables us to communicate and to express our feelings, our needs, our wants, and our desires. Most of us struggle from time to time with the tongue. Amen to that. Most of us will think things, and then before we know it, we will say things. And let's be honest tonight, whenever we say something, it's out on the table and we can't take it back. But yet at the same time, I've said a lot of things from time to time that I wish I could take back, having put not one, but sometimes both feet in my mouth. But let's be even a little more frank with all of this. The Bible speaks in very clear language that some act as fools whenever it comes to their tongue. In this, hatred is the very foundation upon which they present themselves. You see, these individuals, this type of fool, who cannot control his or her tongue will use cruel words. They will be very critical of people round and about them. They will have oftentimes malicious ways. They will have a condescending manner about them. Sometimes we will find is that they will embellish stories to make themselves look well. They will fabricate things. Yes, to fabricate is nothing more or nothing less than a lie. Yet in all of this, these people are very cruel in regard to the way in which they deal with people. And from time to time, we will find is that they will have a raging spirit about them. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. In all of that, they will present themselves as well as the situations of which they are dealing with or attempting to deal with anger and hatred conjoined. A lot of times we will find is that these individuals will be very loud, and also they will come across in a very self-righteous manner. The Bible tells us concerning this type of a fool is that it produces harmful results. In all of this, good people, we present an old adage from time to time that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Let's be honest tonight. In fact, let's always be honest. Amen. But whenever we think in regard to this, truth is sticks and stones certainly will break our bones. And words, they do harm us. Words tear us apart. Words weight us down. Words will tear us apart not only for the moment, but they can affect us for weeks on end and sometimes even years. And sometimes it even causes individuals to break down from a mental standpoint to where that they will remove themselves from society. Yes, words do harm us. And when we think in regard to bringing forth harmful results, who is hurt by it? Certainly the people who is the recipient. But the Bible very clearly identifies for us, Proverbs chapter 18, verses 6 and 7, is that even the person themselves who is using their tongue in an ungodly manner, this person shall stand before God condemned for their sinful actions. But on the other hand, the wise will control their tongue. Now I understand that I did not put tame up there because in reality, James chapter 3, verses 2 through 12 tells us that no one can tame the tongue. We can indeed learn to control it. He uses illustrations here to help us. He says that we put a bridle and a bit on a horse to guide it, but still at the same time, sometimes that horse will not go in the direction that we want it to go. He says we put a rudder on the boat to do what? To guide it. And he says that the tongue, oftentimes is like a lion. I remember years ago as a young boy going to the circus, and then whenever our children began to grow, Dawn and I took them to the Wrangling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus out of Indianapolis one time that they were there. And I remember sitting with the children and watching this lion tamer taking the lion's mouth and opening it wide up. And as he has it stretched as wide open as you could possibly get, he sticks his head in. And I remember thinking to myself, you are crazy. You're foolish. Why? Because while you may be able to control that lion, truth be told, you can never tame that lion. It's the nature of the beast to only bite back. And the tongue works in the same way. In fact, the latter portion of James chapter 3 and verse 10 through 12 presents the tongue. That is, the uncontrolled tongue as a little flame that develops into a forest fire. And that will destroy everything that is within its path. The wise will see that, and the wise will do all that he or she can to control their tongue and to realize that God wants you and me as Christians, as the wise, to do everything that we can unto edification. What does that word edification or to edify mean? It means to build up. We are responsible not to tear down, but rather to build up our brothers and sisters in Christ, to help encourage them, to help lead them, to walk with them in the relationship with God and down the pathway of life as each and every one of us face multiple things in life. Yes, the wise will understand the need to flee from defiling conversation. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 11. In a sense, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. That's what Jesus is saying here in the context. But it's what proceeds forth out of the individual. You see, simply because something goes into us doesn't necessarily mean that it has to come out. Amen? And there are a lot of things that we hear in life, and it is in our head. There are a lot of things that we see in life, and it is in us. But yet at the same time, you and I are in control of whether or not we allow it to come out. And if we are foolish, we will allow it to come out in an ungodly way. But if we are wise, we will not even enter into that sort of a conversation. We will not even give thought to that type of behavior. The fool cannot control his tongue, but the wise will understand the seriousness of the matter and will do all that is within his or her ability to control the tongue that God has given unto us. God also identifies that a fool doesn't care about the facts. This fool is uneducated. What if we think in regard to this fool, he fails or she fails to comprehend the situation. They fail to understand all of the circumstances, all of the critical detail that is necessary for them to have a proper understanding of everything that needs to be understood in regard to whatever an individual is going through, or sometimes what a group of people is going through. They are uneducated in regard to these things. But not only are they uneducated in regard to this, because people, they do not care about the understanding. They're only concerned about presenting themselves and presenting their thoughts and situations on the matter. The Bible identifies for us, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15, that this individual is very naive. They're gullible in their gullible state. Then they will allow friendships and family to drive their emotions. They will allow emotionalism. They will allow feelings to govern the decisions that they make. In all of this then, a lot of times this type of a fool will initiate quarrels. In that, this person will often blast out. This person will present themselves in a very negative manner. Also will present the situations, that is, to the best that they have it, in a very negative and boisterous way. And you know also, in regard to this, the Bible identifies that sometimes this type of a fool will allow themselves, because they do not have the facts, not only are they naive, but they will allow themselves to be somebody else's voice in causing destruction amongst a soul. But the wise, the individual who is wise, will be quick to listen. I find it very interesting that God has given us two eyes to see with. God has given us two ears to hear with, and He's only given us one mouth. And what is it that you and I oftentimes want to use first and foremost? Our mouth. A lot of times we will say things that we ought not say in ways that we must never say them as Christians. And in all of that, though, God wants us to be slow to speak. Also, He says from James chapter 1 and verse 19 that we need to be slow to anger. And what's going to cause us to be slow to anger and to be slow to speak? Good people, if we will use the ears, the two ears that God has given us, to do more listening than talking. And in that then, we need to realize as the wise, as Christians, the essentiality of listening so that we will be able to gather the facts. And in all things, the wise, in like figure, will give the benefit of the doubt. So many times we find people who do not have the facts. So many times we will find people, even amongst the wise, who call themselves Christians, who do not have the proper understanding. And yet, in all of this, they will not give their brother or sister the benefit of the doubt. And in all things, by all means, we need to be people who do realize is that sometimes we misspeak, sometimes we do mess up from our lives, but yet at the same time, more times than not, I contend anyway as I stand before you tonight, is that I believe, really and truly, most of these are mistakes that we learn from versus paths that we may choose to go down. And a wise individual will take those things into consideration. And a wise individual will certainly be one who gives the benefit of the doubt. And even whenever situations present themselves and the facts are all in, and we're presented with the full picture, and maybe it is a negative picture, still we realize that the wise will respond in love. We are given the truth, God's Word. And as Christians, not only are we to know the truth, and to stand in the truth. But as we present the truth, God expects us to present the truth in love. There's another fool that the Bible identifies. And this fool enjoys sinful behavior. This fool dwells in sin. They look upon evil. They're constantly focusing upon things that are corrupt. Their life is centered in and around the immoral things that this world has to offer. Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22 that the lamp of the body is the eye. And the things that we allow to go into our minds more times than not will come out in the type of lifestyle that we will engage in. And this fool dwells on the sinful elements of the things that Satan presents before us. And this fool is defined by sin. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And whenever we consider this fool, we're going to see is that his way of life or her lifestyle is centered in and around the things that God identifies as contrary to His Word. Things that are identified from a biblical context as being sinful all the way around. And this individual is certainly devoted their life towards sinfulness. Do you remember in the days of Noah what is stated in the context concerning these people? It says that man's thoughts and intents were evil continually. Sadly, good people, we live in a world today where there are a lot of foolish people, where there are a lot of fools, as God identifies here, who dwell on sin, who are defined by sin, and who are devoted to sin, to sinful living, as they were in the days of Noah. But yet the Bible tells us that the wise, these individuals, they will take no pleasure in sin. Why? Because they realize how God views sin. They realize the seriousness of sin in the sight of God, that it is a violation of God's law. As well, then, in all of this, they will understand the significance of sin, that sin separates us from God, that as long as an individual is living in a sinful lifestyle, that person can have no relationship with God. Why? Because God cannot involve Himself with sin or with a sinner who will walk in that manner. These who are wise, these individuals will take no pleasure in sin. Instead, they will turn away from sin. They realize that by all means, God presents His grace and graciousness unto mankind. But as the Apostle Paul taught to the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Can we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, certainly not. How can he who died to sin live any longer therein? And the wise realizes that. He or she sees that sin, the old man has been crucified with Christ. That sin must be walked away from. And in doing so then, they will turn their way to walk in the ways, to walk in the paths of God. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Tonight we ask, as we conclude, are you wise or are you foolish? You say, Kevin, what do you mean? While the Scripture very explicitly says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, those individuals refuse to believe in God. But yet at the same time, there's another type of a fool who does believe. And that individual, or individuals might be, are those who say that they believe, but yet at the same time, they do nothing about that belief. How so? Because they hear the Word of God taught. But yet, whenever the invitation is offered, and in fact, the Lord's invitation is open 24 hours, 7 days a week, amen. But yet, that individual chooses to respond in a foolish manner, to dismiss those opportunities. If these people continue to act in a foolish manner, that is, if they never obey the gospel, they shall stand before God as lost fools. Don't be a fool tonight. Don't neglect the invitation. If you're subject to the Lord's call in any way, please come as together we stand and as we sing.